a new dimension to the left, as it would come to be called in Europe. It was not yet Marxist socialism, but Karl Marx, of course, would appear on the scene in Europe in 1848 in the revolution with the publication of the Communist Manifesto and with his commentaries on the revolutions of 1848. Marx, in addition to being a profound theoretical thinker, was also a devastatingly witty and succinct observer and critic, as we'll have a chance to see during the course of 1848. So, in addition to this conflict within liberalism between republicanism and more moderate constitutional monarchy, one also sees the growing influence of a brand of liberalism influenced by socialist thought that suggests that all of the problems of society and the polity are not to be dealt, cannot be dealt with simply in the form of state, but that there has to be a social agenda attached to liberalism as well. That there has to be some sort of way for liberalism to respond to the growing social problems associated with the extension of capitalism and the emergence of industrial society. In 1848, all of these things erupted everywhere in continental Europe, from Paris to Rome to Berlin to Budapest to Vienna. As we observed earlier, it was the first genuinely European revolution, and it was a liberal revolution that was at first wildly triumphant. Beginning in Paris, ground zero, for it seems, for all revolutions in Europe. In February of 1848, it would sweep across the Rhine, across the Alps in the spring and into the summer of 1848, mounting in power as it went. Between February and April of 1848, virtually all the crowned heads of Western and Central Europe were driven from their thrones. The Orléans monarchy, the July monarchy of France, pushed aside in February. The Hohenzollerns of Prussia, the Habsburgs of Austria, didn't abdicate, but were pushed aside by the revolutionaries who set about drafting constitutions to create one form or another of liberal state in Prussia and in Austria. Revolutions in the various Italian states, in the various German principalities, all over Central and Western Europe, revolution, liberal revolution, appeared triumphant, appeared irresistible. Liberal constitutions would be drafted in France, in Prussia, Austria, and in Frankfurt am Main, German liberals from all over German Central Europe had gathered to draft a constitution for a united German state. And yet, by December of 1848, the revolutions had been defeated, the liberals routed, the monarchs restored, and a new government in France that was neither monarchic nor liberal, but Bonapartist, as we will see. Indeed, while many social and economic gains were made by the liberals of 1848, in the aftermath of that great revolution, it would be conservatives who would draw extraordinarily important conclusions about the social basis of politics that emerged during the revolutions of 1848. Allowing conservatism to modernize itself, not to go back to notions of divine right, monarchy, or legitimacy, but to reformulate conservatism to make it more relevant to conditions at mid-century. Any analysis of 1848 has to begin in the streets of Paris. I said a moment ago that the revolutions had begun in February in France. This is true. In fact, the first revolutionary outbreak of 1848 would occur in a very unlikely spot, and that was in Sicily in January. But it would be, of course, the revolution in Paris in February that would set the tone, that would set the ball rolling for all of Europe. To understand that, we need to backtrack a bit and to talk about the July monarchy. We had taken the tale of events in France up to the abdication of Charles X, the establishment of the so-called July monarchy under Louis-Philippe of the Orléans branch of the royal family.